As we ended the lesson on last Wednesday, we told you that as we were to come back this Wednesday, that we would pick up with Ephesians chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. Last Wednesday, we talked about being delivered from the kingdom of darkness. Not being delivered from the kingdom of darkness, but being delivered from the power of darkness. And so as we ended up on last Wednesday, we declared that we would come back this week and we want to continue to walk in the light. We want to continue to examine and evaluate and toss up and for a great exposition to see what the Lord will show us about this light. So what does this have to do with the kingdom? The kingdom is a kingdom of light. The Bible says that as citizens of the kingdom, we should walk in the light. And so, beloved, we want to continue with our examination of this great light. And so tonight, I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 7 through 8 is where we're going to concentrate on this evening. And so let me begin by reading these two verses of Scripture here. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 7 through 8. He begins here, he says, "Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the world. Walk as children of the light." And so, beloved, we learned on last week how we are to be delivered from the power of darkness. And so, having been delivered, what does Paul say here? Paul says here in the book of Ephesians, he says, "Now be ye not partakers with them." Who is them? These are they who still are now partakers of the darkness. The darkness of this world. Well, what is the darkness of this world? Well, beloved, you were influenced by, you were under the power of the darkness of this world before you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Whether you admit it or not, whether you understand it that way or not, the Bible says that as now you were in this world, it says the prince of this world, he said he had blinded us all with the wisdom of this world. And we know that the wisdom of this world is in and of itself darkness. And so the scripture tells us that darkness now is actually the rolling back of light. It's like somebody walk into this room and take the light and roll it up and leave you sitting here in darkness. The scripture says that's where you were before you received the one true light, Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Well, now, wait a minute now. It says now, well, what happened before I got saved? Before you got saved, you were in darkness. But here's now the reason why you did not know you were in darkness. Because your darkness was your light. Now, what the scripture said, and the scripture says, if your darkness is your light, how great is your darkness? Because what we learned on last week is the light is the enlightenment. The light is the truth. The light is God's instruction. The light now is God's now purpose and design for our lives. That's the light. That's the truth. The Bible says that anything that manifests light is truth. All right? That's the truth. That's the light. Okay? And so now we want to examine this a little bit more on this week. He says here in Ephesians, he starts off, he says, "But be not ye therefore partakers with them." The word partaker here means co-participants. "Be ye not partakers with them." And now watch what he goes on to say. He says, "For you were sometimes darkness." You were sometimes darkness. This word sometimes means in the past. In the past, before. Right? The old you. He says the old you was sometimes darkness. Now watch this. Let me see if anybody catches this right here. What does he not say there? He said you were sometimes darkness. He didn't say you were in the darkness. Stop cheating that, minister. He didn't say you were in the darkness. He said you were darkness. He said you were darkness. He said not only were you in an environment of darkness, but you were darkness. Why? Because you are partakers of that environment. Uh-huh. And because you participated in the environment, in the darkness of the world, that darkness now had, you had conformed now to the darkness that was around you. And so you were not just in darkness. You were not just influenced by the darkness, but you became darkness. That's why the scripture tells us, beloved, that it should not be that the blind are leading the blind. Why? Because they'll all fall over the cliff. Why? Because they're all blind. Why? Because the person who is leading you is blind. That person is influencing you. And if you're following after that person, whether you believe yourself to be blind or not, you're blind. And you're all going to fall over the cliff. You're blind. You're blind. You're blind. That's why he says the truth shall make you free. Who the Son has set free is free indeed. Why? Because the Son is full of light. You with me? You with me? You with me? If you want to get out of the darkness, beloved, look for the light. And when you find the light, follow the light, and it'll lead you out of that place of darkness. But the scripture said you were not just in the darkness, but you had actually become darkness. Now watch this, beloved. This word darkness here, it means now, again, the rolling away of the light. It means there's an absence of spiritual light and truth. It is a place where darkness reigns. Okay? There is an absence of spiritual light and truth. And because of this absence, there was a void there. And because of this void, it had shaped your very existence. You became darkness. You became darkness. Now watch this. I want to show you this in Scripture. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. All right, turn there with me. Okay, Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. It reads like this. He says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, says he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. Right? So he says now, so as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And so now let's use this scripture to further clarify this statement that we were not just in darkness, but we are darkness. And so he says here, for as he thinketh in his heart. Watch this, beloved. The word think here, it means now to calculate. To calculate. Not just to calculate, but it means now to place a value upon. To calculate. To place a value upon. To judge a thing. And so now watch this. He says now that now, in your thinking, that you have been thinking, your thinking has been shaped in such a way that it has begun now to shape your value system. It has begun now to shape your character, right? And the way that you feel about things. And so now, I'm calculating, right? You ever heard the person use the term, use this expression, that's just who I am. That is, it's just who you are. But who you are is a conglomerate of things. Why? Because it is a result of your experiences. It's a result of the things that you think and how you think. And because of that, it has formed and shaped you. And these things become who you are. Now before, when there was an absence of light, you were shaped by that spiritual void. And so you actually became darkness. And so now, watch what this scripture says. The scripture goes on to make an example. He said, eat and drink, says he to you, but his heart is not with thee. Now listen to this. So he says now that we now are eating and drinking together. We're having fellowship one with the other. Having fellowship. And not only are we enjoying each other's company, but the food is good too. Yeah, it's good food. And we're in a banquet hall. It's a nice place. And it costs a little money to put this all on, but that's okay because we're all among friends and we're all enjoying one another. But he says now, watch this. He said, now this one now in his mind, everybody else is having a good time except for the one now who has to pay for it. Because in his mind, he doesn't value this fellowship the same way you value this fellowship. In fact, he cannot enjoy himself because he's thinking about how much this is costing him. You with me? Because that's who he is. See, and we also know somebody who is so tight with their money that, man, it would take a set of pliers to get a dollar out of their hand. But that's who they is. That's who they are. Good, bad, or indifferent, that's who they are. Now the bad in that is that when we have been shapen in the wisdom that is of the world, because that's who we become. Right? And so he says, as a man thinketh, so is he. Because the way that you've been thinking and the things that you've been exposed to have shapen your character. Because now it has affected you in the place that affects your very existence. It affected you in your inner core, not just in the place of your heart, but in your conscience. And the conscience is that place where God gave every man, right there in the center. This is the place now where we determine what is right, what is wrong, what is good, what is bad. That's where we develop now our value system. And so now to one person, I value God in such a way that I follow after God. See, and this thing is not laborious to me. This thing is not just a passing fancy to me. This thing is not just something I do on Wednesday night and Sunday. I value God. There are other people who come to church, but they don't value God the same way. Right? They don't value God the same way. But now that's okay because you have a value system. But that's why this thing is a paradigm shift. Why? Because you have to come to the place of where everything you've been holding on to, everything that has shaped your existence, you have to come to the place of where you believe it is no longer valuable to you. Because until you believe it's no longer valuable to you, you can't let it go. That's what repentance is all about. You've got to let it go. All right, so now watch this, beloved. So don't partake with them. He said, because sometimes you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. He says, so just as you were darkness, he said, now you are light. You've not just been merely enlightened. You haven't just heard the word. You've allowed the word to shape you. And to, more importantly, reshape your character, because there was now a transformation that came with the renewing of the mind. Right? And so now he says, you are light, not merely enlightened, but partaking of the nature of light which surrounds us, and so giving light to others. So now he says, I'm a partaker of the light. I'm a partaker of the nature of the light. That's key right there. That's key right there. And so how do I get there? How do I get to be a partaker of the nature? So because I cannot partake of the nature unless I have received the nature. Okay? And so now watch this. Now, even when we begin this journey from carnal to spiritual mindset, we begin here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. He says, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. He says, God has by his divine power given us everything that we need in order to transform ourselves from a carnal and natural mindset to a spiritual mindset, from partakers of the darkness to be partakers of the divine nature, that is the nature of light. He said, by his divine power, he's given us these things. And how has he given us these things? He says he's given us these things that pertain to life and godliness. What's life? Life now is Zoe. Everybody in this church should know what Zoe life is. Zoe life is the principle of life in the soul and the spirit. Right? It's the principle of the soul surrendering to the spirit and following after it. And in that, there is now your true identity. Because what the scripture says, for as many as are led by the spirit, they are the sons. And as they are sons, they are children of God. And as they are children of God, they are heirs, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Christ is my brother now. And that's why the scripture says he's a firstborn among many brethren. And so now everything that is his is mine. The inheritance that is his is mine. That's why the scripture says everything, all the promises of God are in him, yea and amen. Why? Because we are joint heirs. And every promise God has for me, it is in him. So he says that he's given us the things that pertain to life and godliness. If life is the instruction and the principle, what is godliness? What is godliness? Godliness is piety. Piety. Piety, it is a submission. It is a holiness. That's it, minister. It is now God providing the plan and the instruction. And that word, finding someone who will surrender themselves to it. Okay? And he has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Why? Because in his life there is truth. It contains the principle of God's purpose and plan for your life. But now, if there's not a submission to it, it's of no effect to you. You with me? So he says, all of these things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, through the knowledge of him who has called us, Jesus Christ. Through the knowledge of him, and what has he called us to? He has called us to glory and virtue. Okay? Glory means now to see something for what it really is. Okay? For what it really is. Okay? To see a thing for what it really is. Mm-hmm. And the word virtue means excellence. So what has he called you to? He's called you to a better Gerald. Because you were meant to be a better Gerald. I wish I had somebody. He's called you to a better existence. That's why he said, if any man be in Christ, old things are passed away. And behold, all things are become new. What he's done is he's called you to who you are. And now, because now there needs to be a righteousness before you can be who you're supposed to be. He says now, He now gives it to you right away. Right? He declares you righteous. Right? He imputes righteousness to you. And so now, immediately, you are who you were meant to be. But you are a baby version of who you're meant to be. See, everything that God has given you, he's given you. He's given you. But those things have to be perfected. And so now he gives you the knowledge that you need. But now he says, even now, that's why he says, when you think that you know, reevaluate. You don't know how you ought to know. He said, because right now we see as through a glass, darkly. You don't have everything, but you have everything. Did you understand what I just said? As soon as you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have everything, but everything needs to be perfected. That's why he said, you're an heir. Right now, you're an heir. He said, but until you learn how to manipulate and how to control and how to now operate in the things that you have been given and who you are, he said, you need a schoolmaster. You need somebody to hold your hand because you don't know what to do with all this power that you have. You don't even know the extent of all the power that you have, but you have it. And so this Christianity is not one big fellowship dinner. No, it is one big group of people pursuing after the same God. And I'm and the reality is as the more I pursue Him, and the more knowledge I have of Him, the more I'm becoming like Him.
Yes.
So the reality is I'm pursuing self. You're pursuing yourself. Why? Because what does the scripture say? We are to be conformed to the image of Christ. If it is through the knowledge of Christ that you receive all things pertaining to life and godliness, as now your knowledge of Christ increases, you are being conformed even more to His image, which is the image now that you were created in. You with me? Okay. All right. So now watch this. As we go on, it's going to open up to you. Watch this. He says. So now he says, through the knowledge of Him who has called us into glory and virtue. And so now, so what things has He given us? The first thing He gave us is Himself. He gave us His word. Gave us His word. Where does this enlightenment come from? John chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. He says, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. He gave us life. Right? He gave us Himself. Yeah? So in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. He said, all things were made by Him, and without Him there was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, Zoe life, right? Which is what I need, right? And that life was the light of man. That light means to enlighten, to instruct. It provided an instruction that illuminated the man. And now, as it illuminated the man, it relieved him and received him and snatched him out of the place of darkness. And so now he is no longer darkness, but he is illuminated. And not only is he illuminated, but he provides light because he is light.
Yeah, my God.
With me? He is light. He is light. And so now watch it. As we go on, now watch. He says, so in 2 Peter 1 and 4, as you go on there, he says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Okay? So now he says now, he's given us all things pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us. All right? Whereby, he said, by these things has been given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. That by these, by what? The promises. By these, we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. All right? So now, it is through the knowledge of Christ that we've been given all things pertaining to life and godliness. Christ has called us into glory and virtue, who we should be, who we were meant to be. And he says now, whereby we have received exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature. All right? With 2 Peter chapter 1, says Felicia. And he says now, so now watch this. This word be, it means to cause to be, to become new, to generate new. He says, I was darkness, but now that I've received the light of Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. he says, by this light, he says now, I've received now also exceeding great and precious promises, that by these I might be a partaker of the divine nature. So he says, by what I received by these promises, these promises now, he says, by these I become a partaker of the divine nature. It causes me to be a partaker of the divine nature. I participate in the divine nature. Well, what are these promises? What are these promises? Well, watch this. He says now, the promises, this word promise means an assurance. It is an assurance of a conferring of some good. Right? It's a promise. It's a promise. Right? And beloved, what we live by. We live by the promises of God's word. That's what we live by. That's what we live by. Why? Because now the scripture says that we now, having been saved, he says, our soul faints at his salvation. He says, but even as our soul faints at his salvation, he says, our hope is in his word. So now, if our hope is in his word, what's contained in his word? God's promises are in his word. And so now we have now the promise now in the assurance now of his word. So everything that God now has declared by his word, we have an assurance of it in his promise. Right? And because we have that assurance, he says now, it is by these promises now that we are able now and we become now partakers of this divine nature. All right? So now watch this. In Ephesians 1 and 13, he says now, this is how we secure this promise. He says now, when we believe. What does he say? When we believe. Uh-huh. Ephesians 1 and 13, when we believe. He said we trusted in him, but then when we believe, we were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Okay? Now, what's in that spirit? It's the spirit of promise. So everything that is promised is in that spirit. I have received a portion of the spirit of God, which is the life of God, the nature of God, because God is a spirit. Okay. So in the portion of himself that he gave me, he has now promised. And in that I have assurance in that promise. Why? Because he says with every word, he has now said it above his name. What's in the name? Power, authority, character. Everything is in the name. So how has he given us assurance? He has assured us of every single promise by assuring it in himself. With me? So he says here, he says, by these promises, we become partakers of the divine nature. All right. So now let's continue on in that second Peter, because Peter opens this thing up. He says, so after we've received the promise, he says now, after we received the promise, he said, you, it doesn't just stop there. He said, it continues from there. He said, because after you receive these things, he said, and beside this, give all diligence to add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things, watch this, they are blind. They're blind, right? And they cannot see afar off and have forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. You with me? All right. So now he says, we're continuing in the second Peter, because second Peter now shows us how we get to the place of the divine nature. So first he gave us his word, then he gave us his promise. By these now, we are made partakers of the divine nature, right? So now, having received these things, now he says, we are partakers of the divine nature because we have received now of the Spirit of God. We at the same place now? Okay. So here's how you participate in the divine nature, right? We know how we came about the nature, and what is the nature? What is the nature of God? God is a spirit. It's a spiritual nature. So now he says, when we believe, we receive now the Holy Spirit of promise. Now we can't just set on it. We've got to be partakers of the divine nature. All right? So now watch this. This word now here, nature, it actually means a growth. It means a growth. It means a development. It means now it is the beginning of the germination process. Starting to come together for you? In the germination process, what happens in the germination process? It's a germination or an expansion. It says in the germination process, something comes into being. something begins to sprout and develop. Jesus. But where did it start? It started with the planting of a seed. Yes. What'd you say, minister? His word is the seed. Yes. And so now, here we go. Now, here we were. Darkness. Until the seed was planted. And the seed began to illuminate. But now, during the germination process, now the seed begins to expand and expand and expand until the seed now begins now to consume the entire vessel. And so now, as the seed is full of light, now the vessel becomes a light. You with me? The vessel becomes a light. And as the vessel has become a light, you are not just light, but now you are lighting up everything. You are illuminating. You are bearer of the light. There you go. Don't get ahead of me. Don't get ahead of me. So he said, this is the process by which a plant grows from a seed in the germination process. And so we receive the nature of God as we receive the spirit of promise. And so now, if we now will apply now the life that is the life is the principle of life in the soul and the spirit. That's when I'm going to allow for, I'm going to now do those things that are necessary to cause the seed to grow and expand. Okay? That's what, it has to be planted. It has to be buried before it can live. I ain't messing with John. That's Resurrection 101. There you go, man. Farming 101. I should have worn my boots tonight. Amen. Amen. And so now watch this now. He says now, so now watch as this thing begins to take root. Because here's how we participate in this. So we're participating in the nature. So now the nature now is the growth. The word nature here actually means the growth process itself. Okay? It is the seed that is planted, and now that seed expands and develops. Okay? So in the nature of God, number one, God is a spirit. All right? So now watch this. In Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Now watch. Now the next time you hear this scripture, I want you to understand it a little differently. But he said, you shall know them by their fruit. All right? So now if now they're telling you that they're growing oranges, but the only thing you see sprouting up is lemons. Oh, it ain't no orange. It's a lemon. It's a lemon. So now he says here, but the fruit of the Spirit. Okay? He said the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. That which is produced from the divine nature. He says it's love. It's joy. It's peace. It's long-suffering. It's gentleness. It's goodness. It's faith. It's meekness. It's temperance. Against such there is no law. He said, you can keep producing. That seed is producing these things in you. That's why he said, anything that manifests is light. What he said, anything that manifests is light. And so now, as now love is manifested, it's light. Joy is manifested, it's light. Peace is manifested, it's light. It is all now a part of this growth process in you. And so now, I have love as soon as I receive Christ as my Lord and Savior. Yeah. But the love has been developed and expanded in me. The peace is being developed and expanded in me. The joy, the long suffering, the meekness, all of these things are being developed and expanding in me. Because I'm participating in the divine nature. Right? So now, here's 1 John chapter 1, he says, God not only is a spirit, but he says, God is light. God is light. And so now he said, In Matthew 5, 14 and 16, here you go, Sister Barbara. He said, ye are the light of the world. I'm the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Right? So what is he saying? He's saying now, you are the light of the world. And why am I the light? Because there's a seed of light been planted on the inside of me. And it's sprouting. It's expanding. So now, the light now that is illuminating from me is not an external light. It's an internal light. And he says now, and it's a light that cannot be hid. If it's growing the right way, it cannot be hid. He said, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. He said, so neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. Yeah. So now he says, God would not light this candle and illuminate this vessel that you are and then hide it. Bring it in the church house and hide it. And we turn it on when we get to the parking lot. But when we leave out the church, we turn it off. Like we're trying to save on the light bill or something. Or using energy efficient bulbs. I said, you don't need to be on the budget with this light. You can let this light shine. He said, but he doesn't put it under a bushel, but he puts it on a candlestick. And as he puts it on the candlestick, he says now, when he put it on the candlestick, he said, then it will light all that are in, it gives light to all that are in the house. It gives light.
Wow, that's
when the people of God walk in the house, there should be an illumination in the house. It should be. If you're surrounded by people who are darkness, and you're the only light in your room, there should be an illumination. A room full of light. And they should be drawn to you just like gnats are drawn to a light bulb. Yeah. And now in verse 16 he said, so let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So if the light is not shining, the works, though they even be good works, they're not seen.
Jesus.
So, you know, a lot of times I see people in the church, you know, and especially good people, because there are so few good people in the church. Well, no, good is not the right one. Workers. Yeah, workers. That when you get a worker, then that worker usually got 3-4 jobs. You know, and so you have to be mindful of that, especially as a leader, because you don't want that person to get in a place of where they're busy being busy. Because that's where the enemy operates. Because if the enemy can keep the light snuffed out in business, the light is not being effective. I got 20 jobs in the church, but I'm working so hard, my light is being snuffed out. Because I'm illuminating, but I'm not being filled up again. And so my light is getting dim. I'm tired. I'm tired and frustrated. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so now he says, now that you have this nature, you're participating in this light. He says, now walk as children. That's what he said back where we started at, Ephesians 5, verse 8. He said, now walk as children of the light. Walk as children of the light. Okay. And so in Ephesians 5 and 13, he says this way, he says, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. And we said that. For whatsoever does make manifest is light. So he gives us, and this is where we're going to end, because we're going to continue down this road a little more. Because now that we have gone through how you obtain the nature,
and how you participate in the nature. Now, he gives us now a litmus test. Where he says, okay, let's see if you're walking in the light. Okay? So with everything, what does the scripture tell us? We have to always examine ourselves and see if we be in faith. Now, let's see if we're walking in the light. So now, if we have now the divine nature inside of us, and the light is illuminating, it should now be a fruit that is indicative of the light on the inside.
Yes, sir.
And so if the light is on the inside, it's consuming, it's growing, it's sprouting, it's affecting now my walk.
Yeah.
It's affecting the way that I live. It's affecting me now in the place of my mind. And so now it shaped my value system. It shaped my character. I see, we just went full circle. You with me? So now, I'm not just walking in the light. I am the light. Because it shaped my value system. My value system has changed. So even the way that I value God has changed. The way that I value my wife, my children, my Christianity, my relationship with God, all of it has changed. I've become the light because the light now has been allowed to germinate and to grow and to sprout and to develop on the inside of me. And I got out of the way and allowed it to happen. Now, but here's the test. 1 John chapter 2, verse 8 through 11. Jesus says, it says, again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that says he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness, even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. You can say whatever you want to say. You can declare yourself to be in the light. But here's the test. Right? It's a quick test. If I hate my brother, I'm in darkness. If I hate my brother, I'm still walking in darkness. Because that's not the right fruit being manifest. Right? And he said, and so now watch it. Now watch what he says now in Ephesians 5. And he said, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by light. All things that are corrected. When there's correction and admonition. He said, these things are made manifest by light. And he said, for whatsoever does make manifest is light. And so now, hatred does not make anything manifest. What is being made manifest? What is he talking about appearing, being made manifest? The image of Christ being made manifest. Yeah. And so in the image of Christ, those things that should be made manifest are the fruits of the Spirit. Right? Test. Yeah. And we ain't got to take no secret ballot. You just, you know what it looks like.
Yes, yes.
So you can test yourself.
Yes, yes.
Amen? So now that we're positioned, now in the coming weeks, we're going to continue to walk in this light. We're going to see how this thing looks.
Huh.
How to walk this thing out. Because it's not easy, beloved. It's not easy.